I want to talk a little bit about storms of life. You know, this winter we've had our share of storms here in Southern California. We've had more rain and storms this year than we've had in recent past, and it's had a great positive effect on the drought that we've had in California for so long. And when the rain first started to come down, I heard lots of welcoming words. Boy, do we need the rain. You know, we haven't seen rain like this for years. I hope it sticks around for a while. All these storms are so good for the snowpack. I read a story not too long ago that Mammoth Mountain is going to stay open for skiing through the July 4th weekend. They have so much snow this year. But now I'm starting to hear a little bit of the attitude changing. Is it ever going to end? Hey, had enough rain yet? Boy, we should start thinking about building an ark. You know, we are such fickle people. First we want the rain, and now we don't want the rain. You know, back in 2017, one of the most devastating hurricane seasons on record, the people of Florida had enough. There had been through a number of storms, and now Hurricane Irma was on its way, bearing down towards the peninsula. And there was a Facebook group that popped up. And right before the hurricane made landfall, the entire state of Florida was invited to this Facebook event that was called Shoot at Hurricane Irma. Now, I'll let the New York Times pick up the story from here. On Tuesday, Ryan Edwards of The Land Florida created a Facebook event page about the imaginary gathering. And in it, he said, "Let's show Irma that we shoot first." Mr. Edwards' show of comic bravado was a hit. His friends started signing on and making jokes. Then a few strangers joined, and then a few more. And by Sunday, more than 55,000 people had visited the page and expressed in attendance interest in attending. Mr. Edwards said, "I guess that a lot of people just connected to the joke, and the more it got shared, the more attention it seemed to get." On Facebook, people started posting pictures of themselves with rifles, promising to charge directly into the eye of the storm. Pretty soon, related Facebook events started popping up with names like, "Everybody point their house fan at the hurricane and blow it away." Or, "Why don't we just push Florida somewhere else?" Mr. Edwards said that the tens of thousands of attendees of his event seemed to be in on the joke. After all, he said, "There's no way I'm going out into a windstorm wielding a firearm." Still, there were critics of Mr. Edwards appearing to take his post literally. Some expressed alarm that he might inspire someone somewhere to fire ammunition into hurricane force winds. It got so bad that the sheriff's office in Pasco County, Florida, tweeted a stern warning against shooting weapons at a hurricane. You won't make it, turn around, and it will have very dangerous side effects. Now, I know it shouldn't come as a surprise to me or to you that there are some people somewhere who think that just by firing their weapon, they can make a hurricane turn around. And it shouldn't surprise us that the sheriff's department actually had to make that tweet to tell people not to fire their weapon at a hurricane. Just doesn't seem to make much sense. There's a meme that was going around this summer in some of the hottest times of weather on record, showing a handgun pointed towards the sun and a person demanding, "Enough already." It was done in fun, and of course it makes no sense. But once again, there were some who thought the person was serious. It seems that oftentimes people are illogical when it comes to facing adversity. You know, it's not a modern phenomenon. People have been acting in ways that defy logic for centuries. When life does not go as planned, people like to take life in their own hands. The author of our text this morning knows all about it. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to the 37th Psalm. A portion of it is in your worship folder. You can look at some of the verses there. I'm going to be reading a few more than are just printed for you. The author begins, "Do not be preoccupied with evildoers. Do not envy those who do wicked things. They will quickly dry up like grass, and wither away like green plants. Trust the Lord and do good things. Live in the land and practice being faithful. Be happy with the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Entrust your ways to the Lord. Trust him, and he will act on your behalf. He will make your righteousness shine like a light, your just cause like the noonday sun. Surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not be preoccupied with an evildoer who succeeds in his way when he carries out his schemes. Let go of anger and leave rage behind. Don't be preoccupied. It only leads to evil. Evildoers will be cut off from their inheritance, but those who wait with hope for the Lord will inherit the land. What are those things that you are preoccupied by? Some of those things that seem to take you away, to think that you can do things on your own without trusting in the Lord. In the book titled The Sinner Saint Devotional, 60 Days in the Psalms, which, by the way, is a little bit different than the one we're going to be using for Lent, one of the authors, Donovan Riley, writes the following. When we struggle and our faith seems to be eggshell fragile, it's often hard to see God at work anywhere. When it seems that every moment of the day throws more temptations and afflictions at us, we wonder when God is going to step up and do something to help us. And why does God allow wicked people to curse and mock us? It even appears that wicked people who do not trust God or believe in him catch all the breaks while we fight just to get out of bed each morning. But this is our great comfort, especially in suffering and trials. The righteous person is not the one who never struggles, never falls into sin, and is applauded for his saintliness. A righteous person is righteous because he trusts only in what Jesus does. And therefore, God declares him to be righteous for Christ's sake. The enemies of God and of the gospel lean on their own abilities, skills, gifts, strength. In fact, they end up trying to drive away the righteous because the righteous trust in only God's promises of forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation, not in anything that they have done, good or bad. In fact, when we try to impress God with our doing, we are like a man who tries to bring down the sun by shooting it with a pistol. You know, there are many who think that they can impress God by their own righteous efforts, that they can earn an eternal reward by the things that they do. But it makes about as much sense as staving off a hurricane with a handgun or taking aim and shooting at the sun. Listen to Paul's words from the letter to the Philippians. Paul has recounted all of his righteous acts, and if anybody is righteous, it's Paul. But Paul says this, But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul says all the good things that he does, all the righteous things that he does, are garbage in comparison to the righteousness that has been given to us in Christ. While shooting the sun is not an answer when the storms of life come, we do find that salvation comes in the Son who has targeted you, who loves you. He's not impressed with your efforts or your acts, but he targets you because he loves you, that you have worth, that he loves you, and you are recipients of grace and mercy and love from the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Donovan Riley continues, the true saint who clings to Jesus' bloody suffering and death for his justification will be the target of slander, cursing, gossip, false accusations, and the like. Only trust in Jesus' saving work for us is of any lasting value in this life and onto the new creation. God does not care about the size of our house, how many cars are parked in the driveway, how many friends surround us, or the number of people at church who call us saints and hold us up as an example of the God-pleasing life. But God holds us up in all suffering and affliction. He will not let our faith be taken from us. He will not allow you to sink irretrievably into hopelessness. His arm and his hand are over you and have an unbreakable grip upon you. And through faith in Christ Jesus alone, no matter how rough the going gets, you will be vindicated. For God is on your side. Who can be against you? Who can overcome you? The answer is no one. Because the one who overcame sin, death, and hell for us will never leave us or forsake us. And in him we live, move, and yes, even suffer. Because we trust that God will act on our behalf. When the storms of life come, and they're going to come. When things go wrong, and you can't seem to find your way out of it. We don't take aim to shoot the sun, but we trust that we've been targeted by the Son of God who loves us and cares about us and who took all of the shots of the devil had. And in so doing, he takes your sin from you and he gives to you his righteousness and the strength that you need to face the storms of life. And in the midst of the storms, to see his promise in the rainbow, that he will never leave you and never forsake you. And more importantly, he gives you his righteousness. For your sins have been forgiven. You stand in the grace of God. Even though the storms may rage about you, we have one who stands with us, who gives us forgiveness. His name is Christ, and he's your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for coming to us in the midst of the storms of life. Lord, we admit that at times we try to bail and to board up and to do whatever we can to alleviate the effects of the storm. But by our own doing, Lord, we find ourselves trapped, sinking, feeling like we are lost forever. But Lord, in the midst of our struggle, you came. You sent your Son Jesus as our rescuer, who came to take all of the storms of life and take them upon himself. So Lord, forgive us for the times where we have trusted in our own might, in our own will, our own ways. And Lord, help us to trust in you, to stand upon your promises. And in the midst of the rain, help us to see the bow in the sky, your promise that you will always be with us. Lord, be with us this week. Help us to trust in you in all things. We ask this in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.